Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that an interesting term that Jesus said about us? Especially this week as we talk about being complacent. I think it's important that all of us be aware of that important factor in our lives, that the flesh is weak, even though the Spirit's willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here again this evening to worship and honor you and to thank you for the great sacrifice that you've made for our lives, Lord, we lift our hearts and minds up to you. Pour your Spirit into our hearts and minds that we may hear and grow and learn, and empower us again to live for you. Be with me now as I deliver this message and be in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be prepared. Yep, that's the phrase that we always want to say. I mean, don't be caught off guard of all things. I mean, that's the last thing. I mean, if we think of history and we know anything of history, and especially as we think of our nation, of all things, we really want to be learn that lesson about being prepared. I mean, and that's true. Is it not right for us to be that way? I mean, we think back to Pearl Harbor and December 7, 1941, and the Japanese came and surprise attack, and all of a sudden we jumped and we said, no, we're going to always be prepared. We're always going to be prepared. And time goes by and things get complacent, and now all of a sudden, 1993, there's the Twin Tower bombing. And that was supposed to have taken the whole towers down, but it didn't. Old Sheikh there, we got him, and fortunately only 6 people died in that occasion. But we said, all right, we need to be alert. There's terrorists around and everything. But then all of a sudden what happened? September 11 happens, 9/11 happens, and the towers do come down. And all of a sudden we're shooken again, and we're going, wait a minute here. And we tell ourselves we're going to be determined. We're never going to let 9/11 happen again. We're going to be determined. We're going to be on watch. We're going to see what's going on here. I mean, we can't afford to be complacent, can we? I think you and I will agree with that. But the truth of the matter is, neither can we afford to be complacent in spiritual matters either. I mean, when you think of our relationship to the Lord and how it affects our eternal life and everything, boy, I tell you, you get complacent about that and you wonder. I mean, that's the way Satan wants to find us. He wants to find us as he found the disciples that evening in Gethsemane with Jesus asleep. And when he does that, when he finds us asleep, he robs us. He robs us of everything spiritually important to us. And sadly enough, he can even rob us of our eternal life. So failure to not see the dangers and failure to not be prepared can lead a person to spiritual bankruptcy. And that is tragic, isn't it? And so tonight, we go with the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. We go with Jesus. And now, Gethsemane was a place where Jesus loved to go often. He liked to go there because that was a place where he would pull back from all the people around him and he could spend time in prayer with the Father. It's a place where he could go and fellowship with his disciples. But this very night, when he went to the garden, he didn't go there to find rest. No, Jesus was wrestling with temptation. He was wrestling with Satan. He was wrestling with himself. And he was wrestling in prayer with the Father. And being a human person, he wanted to have somebody to come with him. So he took his disciples with him and he made it into the garden. And then finally he got a little bit farther and he took Peter, James, and John with him a little bit farther. And that he brought them with him not only to comfort him, to be around him, but he wanted them to learn a lesson, the importance of being alert, the importance of being there so that they could grow and learn to be and deal with all the things that they were going to face in the future. So Jesus tells them, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You see, he wants them to find strength for all the stuff that's going to lie ahead of them. And yet, on this very night, this was a night that there was no time for spiritual complacency. Let's see how Jesus deals with it when he finds his sleeping disciples. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And then going just a little bit farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, saying, "Father, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will." And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And then two more times Jesus goes back to pray. And each time he comes back and he finds his disciples sleeping. Now, did you notice that when Jesus comes back, that he specifically addresses Peter? He comes to him and says, "Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour?" Why do you think he specifically addressed Peter? Probably because what happened just before this is Jesus was telling them what was going to happen and how he was going to go and be arrested and taken to the cross and everything. And you know, old Peter, he stood there and he said, "Well, man, no, I am never going to fall away. I'm going to be there with you, Lord. I'm solid as a rock. I'm going to be there right there with you, guy. With you, guy. You're my guy, yeah." And so, if that were true, you would think that Peter, of all people, would not have been complacent, wouldn't he? I mean, he should have not been sleeping at all. He should have been up, looking around, going, "Okay, what's going on here?" He should have been watchful. He should have known what was going on. He should have been alert and ready. But we find Peter lacking. Why? Because he's oblivious to the threats that are out there around him. He saw no real danger. I mean, what kind of danger could there be? We're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. We've gone there before. It's an isolated place. There's nobody around. And it's midnight. You know what's happening at midnight? Everybody else is asleep. So, I mean, there's no danger. So Jesus is praying. You know, I'll catch a few wink eyes also. Temptation? Was he alert? That temptation never even crossed his mind. Yet by his conduct, in the next few hours, Peter would demonstrate the folly of his overconfidence, of his pride, of his complacency. Yeah, Peter and all the rest of the disciples, they were sleeping, weren't they? And yet the reality is they reflect our own state, our own conduct on many occasions, doesn't it? And that's the reason why this series is called Jesus, Peter, and Me. Because you and I find ourselves so often just like Peter, complacent. And so we too need Jesus' warning. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. I mean, if Jesus were talking to us nowadays, what would he say? He would say, "I want you to watch and pray. I want you to be on your guard against all the works of the flesh," because we still live in this sinful flesh. You know, like greed and envy and lust and hate and all the rest of the stuff. So, folks, watch and pray. But, you know, we're just like the disciples, aren't we? We're just off taking that nap, aren't we? Got to take that nap. And yet Jesus is calling to us. He's saying, don't let anyone distract you from the importance of being in my word, where I teach you how to live the abundant life and live forever. Watch and pray, Jesus is saying. And we doze off again. Yeah, man. And we so often neglect the word. We neglect the sacraments in our life. And Jesus is telling us, keep your priorities straight. You know, it's okay to work hard. It's okay to make a lot of money. It's okay to be successful. It's okay to do all these things, but don't let them become the priority of your life. Keep them as a servant below Jesus. So watch and pray. But we don't. We doze off just like anybody else. We get comfortable with life, don't we? And instead, we let those things slowly get put into first place in our lives. And we allow the spiritual things to just kind of slide off and languish. And failure to watch and pray, you know, this process happens so gradually. It's just the little things. I remember when I was little, I used to believe that, you know, I was waiting for the big moment that would make and change my life. And I finally realized, wait a minute. It's all the little tiny decisions that you make that add up to make your life what it is. And so we need to be careful about all the little decisions that we make, because they are important. And so when we realize this, we realize how important it is what Jesus says to wake up. Wake up, folks. Wake up from any spiritual darkness and drowsiness that's around you, lest we sleep the sleep of eternal death. Well, those disciples slept, didn't they? We know that. And that, you know what? They slept through everything. They slept through the agony. And then when they got up, they scattered and ran, and then they missed all of the things that were happening there. They missed the ultimate temptation that Jesus had to overcome. They missed even avoiding, and they avoided the cross. You remember what Jesus said? That was a huge temptation for him. He prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass by me." Who wants to go and die on a cross? Jesus didn't want to. The scriptures tell us in Hebrew that except for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew there was going to be a greater joy, and so he spent the time. And God's will was indeed done. He not only agonized in the garden, he not only was tortured and stripped and beaten by the guards, but he also then finally made it all the way to the cross. And Jesus willingly marched straight into those horrible things. Why? Because of his love for us. I don't know about you, but this is deeply personal. If you take this amount of intensity of what Jesus Christ has done for you and make it personal for you, it helps us to be wide awake. It helps us to see how wonderful is what God has done. For only here in what God, Jesus has done on the cross, are your eyes truly wide open to everything that's going on in the world. Because right here is the great transfer that happens. The sins of every man, woman, and child on this earth, for all time, past, present, and future, were all placed on Jesus when he was on the cross. Isaiah says it this way, that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians, that he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, because with the sin that was placed on Jesus is also the guilt, is also the punishment, is also the hell that you and I deserve. All that was placed on Christ. Yes, on Jesus Christ, our sins on Christ, our death on Christ, our hell on Christ. Why? Because God is a just God, and every sin must receive its full punishment. And so Jesus took all of that, and God let his full wrath go onto our sins on Christ, so that Christ could be merciful to us and give us his righteousness. St. John says it this way, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." St. Paul says it this way, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And Jesus himself says, "Take heart, for your sins are forgiven." Wow! There's only one word that describes that. Grace. Grace motivated by the love of God for each and every one of you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Folks, that message is a great, wonderful confidence builder for us. It lets us know how much God loves us, that he's taken all of this huge issue in our lives and removed it. It gives us confidence so that as the writers of Hebrews said, that with confidence we can now draw near to the throne of grace and receive mercy and help in our time of need. Yes, the message that Christ, what Christ has done for us on the cross, wakes us up so that we can be alert to all those around us who still need to hear that good news. This is the wonderful gospel that we hear, that wakes us up and allows us to live joyfully in Christ. And because of that, we can say with the psalmist now, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go in to the house of the Lord." Dear friends, take this special Lenten season to renew your heart and your life to the Lord and say, "I'm here for you, Father. I'm here for you, Jesus, because of the grace that you've given me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we thank you for the abundant grace that you've given us. Satan is there all the time, waiting to side-rail us and distract us. Help us not to be complacent, but to be spiritually alert all the time. In Jesus' name we pray.